I was waiting for your text.
I've had like a crazy ass week, man. And yesterday we had one really tough game that went down the wire.
Did you win?
Yeah, we won. We ended up winning by 11. Let me even break it down, man. So first quarter, we're leading by 21. 21.
Okay.
Second quarter, we lost the second. We only scored 11 points in the second quarter. Third quarter,
You
we
guys
lost
scored
three.
all the you guys scored all the points that you should have scored in two quarters in one.
Where, like, we were so fluid in the first quarter, but the second quarter, I don't know. Subs came in, a lot of changes. Then we're down, we're up by one going into the half. Third quarter came through, they were leading us by four, I guess. Then the fourth quarter, we just had to find a way to win.
Why do you why what kind of win in your opinion, or what kind of win do you categorize as a good win? Because every time you win a game, you don't seem to be necessarily excited about the fact that you won the game. It's always like you could have been better, but what could really have been better?
It's the way we play. That's the thing. Like, there are games where we'll play and we lose, but I'm excited about the way we played. You know, there was a particular
Okay.
game this season against one of the top teams. I think they are first right now on the table. We were locked in from the beginning to the end. Like, even when we had lapses, everyone was chipping in at the appropriate time. We played as a team, as a unit. And there are other games that we won, and you feel like we didn't play well. We may have beaten this team by like 20 points, but we know deep down like we did not play well. And it's that, to me, that's the difference, the underlying difference. Like, if you even if you
Okay.
lose games or you win games, it really revolves around how good you play as a team. I don't want a situation where one guy has to carry the load for our team and the guy has to score 20 points every time for us to win. I would rather be on a team where everyone's chips in 15, 10, 5, here and there. The guys on the role players that come off the bench are able to step up and play. And we play as a unit rather than just one guy doing everything that he needs to go the extra length for us to win. That's
Yeah,
how I
I
see it.
understand that. I understand that because I mean, it's not that it's with it's that league. It's these leagues depend. It's kind of you cannot structure yourself around the one particular player because if that player goes down, what happens to the rest of the team? So I understand that. Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
And my team, man, honestly, we still have a lot of work to do. Even though the season is close to an end, I don't think we can win the league, but going into the playoffs, at least we should build the right habits getting in there because we're
Where
going
is
to be
this?
facing a
Where
lot of
are you
teams.
people standing right now?
I think we're third. Yeah, we're third on the league table.
How many teams?
On our conf in our conference, I think we have 10 teams. So 20 teams in the division, but we have 10 teams in our conference. Is that 10? Or, yeah, I think 10. So
But that's a
basically,
lot. I mean, that's a lot. So that proves that obviously speaks for your team being in the top three and the third. That's huge.
we are nice. Let me, I'm not like us. We are bragging, but we are nice. Like, we should be better if we did not lose some games down the road. Like, we had our first loss
So
of the year last
what's the
week.
record now?
What?
What's the record, the win loss record?
So we're at 12 to 6. No, 13 to 6. Yeah.
Okay.
We
Okay.
have a few more games left for the seasons before we go into the playoffs. I just
Right.
hope
Okay, we're
we
looking
just
forward
need
to it.
to get the right habits down before the playoffs. That's my own thing. Hopefully we should be fine. We should be
By
fine.
God's grace.
How's it going? How you doing?
I'm just here, I'm fine.
Are you sure you're fine? You don't look like you're fine, this guy. You should have traveled to Nigeria to
Yeah.
go and vote, man. What's wrong with you? You're closer. You're like, how
Matt.
many hours away? 45 minutes away. What am I saying?
45 minutes away and 280,000 naira. 45 minutes and 280,000 naira.
Understandable. I get your points. I understand. Anyway. just want us to chop up this thing quickly before Niger plays by six today. Them boys are doing
Thank you.
us, they're doing us proud over there.
I had a question. Does Kari play for the what is this Squire Falcons?
Yeah, he does.
Is he going to play for BAL?
Yeah, they're already in Ivory Coast at the moment for an invitational.
Was it because he's going for the BAL? He wasn't selected for Nigeria because I
So
don't see any reason why.
Karim is hot. He's got some knee issues at the moment. So I think that was the main reason because he did not practice throughout the camp in Abuja. So there were only like few sessions where he actually got to practice and play with the team. And basically that was the reason they gave him, they gave to him, like that's why they did not select him for the team. So but he's obviously going to play in the BL. So I'm like, if he's going to play in the BL, why did he turn up for the national team regardless? But anyway, it's a win-win situation for him because at the end of the day, he still plays in the top competition. And later on, I think next month, late next month, there's still an AFRO-CAN coming up, which is also an international competition for Niger. So he should be making that team too.
If he was selected for the national team, would he be able to play for the BAL?
Yeah, Victor is going to play for in the BL. It's just the timing. So basically, I think the BL starts on the 11th, right? Yeah, it starts on the 11th. Why is my what I don't like about all this?
Sorry.
Anyway, the BL starts on the 11th. So the Invitational starts at the end of this tournament. The Invitational is supposed to start tomorrow, the one in Ivory Coast. So yeah, he would have still played. Victor, who is on the national team, is going to join the team in Ivory Coast before the BL. So I think they should be fine.
Man, I like this stuff. A lot of traveling. I definitely like this kind of thing.
Well,
A
that's how
lot
it
of
was now
traveling.
back in the day. That's how it was 2017. I remember traveling all around Niger, in and out of the country because of the league. So I just feel like we should find a way to build that culture again and make it's just the structure that's the thing. Once we're able to get the structure down and get the right people in the right places, then every other thing follows suit.
I heard the BAL thing. I'm sorry I'm taking your time on this because I really wanted the details.
Oh, see,
I
the
heard the
episode has
BAL
started like
thing.
this. All this one that we're talking, we are going to add it somewhere.
I heard the BAL thing is pretty expensive to register, like the team and the players and the logistics are pretty heavy. Because
I don't think so.
I was asking why isn't a Ghanaian team in the BAL, like why can't we just put together a bunch of all-stars or put one team that is in Division One or something and send them to the BAL? I don't understand. And someone says something about the logistics. It's like expensive, like whether is it $300 per person, registration is this or something like that. So I'm like, is it really that expensive?
Okay, the thing is, for one, when it comes to the logistics, the teams have to be able to pay their players. That's the first thing. There's an average amount that each team has to be able to pay their players. Okay. And the BL is also going to subsidize that amount. They are giving teams money so that they can be able to pay for their players, at least a certain percentage. The international players that are going to join the teams are going to be catered for by the BAL itself. So the guys that, like for example, River Hoopers who went to the BAL last time, I think the average pay was 1,002, I think 1,002, 1,005 for the tournament, right?
Please, you need to be specific with the currency.
Dollars, basically, dollars, ABBA.
For the team,
Yeah, for the tournament, for each player.
1,000.
1,005, yeah.
Not
So
bad, not bad.
for the team takes at least I think like a 30%, you have to be able to provide 30% of that for the players. That's the National League players that are playing. Then EBL does the rest. The international players
Okay.
that are going to join in are sorted out by the BL itself. I think to a degree, I think that River Upper squad was actually sponsored. All the pay was done by the BL. I'm not sure, but I think that was what it was, because every player got their duly payments. You know, with Nigeria, and there's
Okay.
always going to be a setback one time or the other. They'll say one money is not here, but no one complained about that. And the guys that I was able to talk to about it were pretty much certain that okay, their bar was sorted. What
Okay,
the
but
issue
okay.
with sorry, the issue with Ghana not being on that level at the moment, I don't think it has anything to do with logistics. Just the league has not expanded into other places. They've not gotten to Ghana yet. That's the thing.
Well, wait, time out. What? I don't understand. What do you mean the league has not expanded
The
into other
BAL, I
places?
mean, because at the moment there are only a
Is it some
certain
sort of
number of countries.
qualification?
No, okay. There is a certain number of countries that are going to
Okay.
that get automatic qualification if they win their leagues. That's the likes of Nigeria, Angola, Egypt, and a few more. Those countries, if they whatever team that comes out of that country winning their league gets the BAL slot, then there's a qualification phase for different countries within different regions. That's like the same qualification that the Benin Republic went for. I don't know. There are some certain teams in a certain region that gets to play during the qualifications to get to the tournament. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like the BL has not expanded into Ghana yet. It has not expanded into a team, a country like Uganda yet, on a bigger scale. That's what I mean, though. So I don't know. I really don't know why Ghana hasn't like pitched out to the Amadou Diallo and all these guys who reached out to them. It's a thing
I
that
mean,
really needs they need to be looking to.
it's very underwhelming. It's very underwhelming. I'm like, I don't understand. You see the caliber of players that are here, and I ask myself, what exactly is missing? What's next? It's not like money is the problem. It's not like they can't use, it's not like I don't think sponsorship or support is the problem. And they have top teams here. I mean, the what is this? What's the name? Something Knights, what's the name again?
Fintech Knights.
The Spintex Knights. Yeah, I know, like not maybe not half, but one third of the players that play on Spintex, I know them.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, y'all went to Nigeria, okay, came second. I'm like, that's impressive. My point is just that there are teams just like Spintex and there are other teams that have these top professionals that can represent, the country in the BL, and I just wonder why it's taking them
Yeah.
this long to do anything, because I think it's an opportunity a lot of them could really use.
See, at the end of the day, it falls back to the federation of that country. Because if they really
There
wanted to
isn't any.
get in, if they really wanted to get a look in the BL, they can reach out to the appropriate sources, you know. It's not a big deal. The BL is meant for Africa. So as the years go by, they look on expanding. Now, if you want to get into the loop, even if you have to go through qualification phases like some of the other countries like Benin Republic do and all that, you have to reach out to them. So maybe, just maybe, the Federation isn't ready yet, or they have to sort
When
out
you
home
say
business
federation,
first.
I'm thinking, what federation are you talking about? Because I don't think that one
The
exists
Ghanaian
here.
Basketball Federation now.
I don't think it exists. I'm sorry, but I don't think it exists. I mean, like, I'm not even, this is not even a joke, because we don't even have a national league. So, like,
So
I don't
that's
think it
another thing.
exists.
You see, that's another
Yeah, because
issue.
what we're playing is basically, what is this? It's Accra Basketball League. That's it. You know how, yeah, it's categorized as regions, not states. So it's like saying Lagos Basketball League. So all the teams in Lagos are playing each
Yeah.
other, something like that. So it's Accra Basketball League. So you're not playing teams in Cape Coast and these other places. So it's basically probably formed by, like a private entity or something like that. And I get that, but then like there isn't any national, I don't know if there's any national committee. I don't know. I've been looking into some, I don't
So
see
that's the
anything
issue
where
right there. That right there is the issue. Even like the teams that are playing in the private league, I think it is something if the private owners, the owners of the private league are actually willing to take the next step, it is something they can actually reach out to the BAL for. I don't see it as a long shot, given that maybe that's the only thing working in Ghana at the moment. You can put a foot down and say, okay, this is us and Ghana. This is going to be our representative. And if every other person buys into it, why not? And that's that really, I feel if you really need to have an incentive for guys to really come out and play the way they want to play their best. Like if you come out and tell them boys that, oh, if you win this tournament, you are going to the BAL. For one, you will definitely see loads and loads of players, loads and loads of teams springing up here and there just because they want a shot at that. So it's another way
That's
to
true.
push the narrative down there.
Hope they do eventually. I hope they do.
And yeah, then I'll start pushing it.
Because,
Start talking to people. Start making them
man,
calls. Stop making them calls. Come on, Valentine. Make some moves.
people like me are people that have all the ideas. I'll say that. And I know the right people. I know some, to some degree, I know the right people to talk to. But I don't think they're necessarily the right people because I assume they're the right people. And that's where the problem is. Because I could talk to a few people and ask them, let's try and push this. And everybody, the problem is that, yeah, everybody have that laid back nature where they're like, it's okay. We'll get it eventually. There's always that eventually stance that everybody seem to be on. And until maybe someone comes from somewhere and lights a fire in the ass, and all of a sudden they want to get it done. But right now, they just seem to be in a phase where they're like, it's okay, it's still a growing league, we'll eventually get there. But like, I would be like, let's get there now. But they'll be like, calm
People
down,
don't
it's
want to be
more than what
proactive,
you
man.
know,
They don't
it's
want to be
more than what you
proactive.
know. It's my everyday struggle, yeah.
This is the Flat Out Show for those that are new here. This is the Flat Out Show. We talk about basketball and everything else. Basketball in relation to fashion, music, everything you can think of. We just have fun on this channel. And today we're gonna be trashing out a few things that we should have talked about a long time ago. It happened like how many weeks ago? When was the NBA trade?
Like 2 weeks or something,
Yeah,
like
2 weeks.
around that.
But yeah, it's better that we do it now, later than never. Abby? Abby, kilo feel, Valentine. Kilo feel. What's going
Yes,
on?
yes, yes, yes. Now or never.
Yeah, man. It was shocking to some people when we saw the trades, definitely. Like we never expected, for one, the biggest name in the league at the moment, KD, to be moving to Phoenix. But what do you feel about that move? Does he affect his legacy if he doesn't win a title this year?
No, I don't think it does, because the man doesn't look like he gives a damn, to be
That's
honest.
the thing, man. He doesn't give a shit anymore.
Because at this point, we have watered down, like we have over-exaggerated so many things to the point that it has gotten to these players that they have to actually tell themselves they don't care. For example, the whole Ja, I'm fine in the West joke that everybody made a big fuss about. Now it has gotten to the point where it's become such, so it's been watered down to the point where in the All-Star break, I don't know which of the reporter was like asking who is fine in the West,
Malika
and
Andrews.
that was lame. That was extremely lame. That was extreme. That's like old people trying to force themselves to be new age. That was extremely lame. So players, my point is that players are already coming along with all these jokes, and they see, apparently, it turns out that they see a lot of the things we speak about. So that's something. I guess they're not invisible after all. I don't think it hurts his legacy. At this point, the man is just playing basketball. I think he has won it all in his opinion. He's been a multiple-time All-Star, All-NBA. He's been an MVP, gold medalist. He's won championship, finals MVP. I don't necessarily think he's bothered. He just wants to play at this point.
And it also speaks about the way the Brooklyn Nets are structured as an organization. Like you got, I understand the garbage that most of this, the baggage most of these players bring as being a star on the team, but you add arguably top 75 players on your team, three of the top 75 players ever on your team, and you couldn't make it work. You add James, you add Kyrie, and you add KD. It speaks volumes about what that organization stands for, not being able to work something around those three guys. And even when one left, we still thought like, okay, we still got Kyrie and you got KD, and you brought in our brother Ben Simmons to like, to align with the things that you have already. But it didn't just work out. Well, I
But
don't know, man. With the new squad,
it
I like
really
that they are
speaks.
rebuilding with new players, and it looks like it's gonna work out in the next few years for them. But from what
Maybe,
we've seen so far from Brooklyn, it's not just it.
no, maybe they're not. You see, that's the thing. Peer pressure is a real is a is peer pressure is real, and that's the thing. A lot of us cave to it. Peer pressure is like an everyday thing. Brooklyn Nets, this is not the first time. This is like the second time within the same decade that they have done something of this nature. Have we forgotten the Paul Pierce, the Kevin Garnett, the Brook Lopez?
But
That,
those guys were
like,
older at that age, at that time now. They were really old now.
see, not many franchises get to do this twice and be and flop. This twice in the same decade. See, it's one thing to do it maybe 20 years from each other or 30, but in the same decade, So you are proving to us that even with older, but like with the veteran, the quote unquote all-star veteran, you couldn't make it work. And with the veterans, with the players in their prime, you couldn't make it work. So clearly, the mistake that they made, in my opinion, is have you we've forgotten the D'Angelo Russell's Brooklyn Nets? That was the team to keep. But what happened? Peer pressure. They wanted to do LA Lakers style. They wanted to get the LeBron, get the KD, get the Kyrie. Let's win now. Let's win now. Let's win now. Where'd that end up? Nothing. You could have been patient, allowed, developed. I think it was Dinwiddie. What was it? D'Angelo, that team was exciting. That team was going to, yes, they're going to take a few more years to make like real impact in the playoff, but they were promising. But what they do, blow that up so that we can be like the Los Angeles Lakers. Let's just bring in
See,
all the stars right now. Win now, win now. For what?
it comes back to having too much money. When you have that much money to expend, you feel like you can get away with anything and make things happen immediately. In reality, like when you get out, step out of the basketball realm, if you're trying to do business and all that stuff, yes, money is going to make things move a lot quicker. But when it comes to basketball, man, you really cannot put your money down and say, okay, these guys are going to gel immediately, because it takes a lot more than just you footing down bills. You have to look at the chemistry of these players, how they are able to play together, the supporting cast, the actual coaching crew that is going to lead these teams to a championship. But I don't think they took that to account when they were building these teams, and it's going to bite them. Hopefully, in the next few years, I still feel they will do good. I think they are going to get into the playoffs, and actually, I feel like they'll get past the first round. I believe so, because at
This
this
year,
point, they don't have as much
this year.
pressure. Yeah. I do not have as much pressure like they would have had with KD, Kyrie, and Ben Simmons. I'm taking Ben Simmons out of this equation, because I don't feel like he's not he's definitely
I
going to
don't even know.
be.
I don't even know why you keep bringing his name. Every time you bring up his name, I'm
Bruh,
irritated. I don't know
he's
why you
getting
keep bringing his name.
$35 million this year. How won't you bring up his name? There's no you have to mention the man. 35 million. Come on, bro. That's a lot of money. You know how many role players you can sign with 35 million?
Man, sometimes you just ask who the advisors of these teams are. You just have to ask.
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane. But with the Suns, Do you feel like it is a make or break for them? I certainly believe that if they don't win it this year and they don't get the chance to win it next year with this crew, then it's done. Like, that window is closed. And unfortunately, my guy CP3 is part of the crew. And that's one person I really want to win a championship. But man, they really need to get it down this year or next year.
First of all, some of us know for a fact that man is not getting a ring.
I hate it, but
You
it's
and I know
right
good and
there.
well he's not. You and I know he's not. He's not. He's not necessarily that guy in the playoffs. That's the problem. I don't think people talk about it enough. He's not necessarily that guy, and he gets injured at the worst possible time.
That's something you can't
That
control,
aside,
man.
it's not something you can control, but at the same time, it is the reason why I don't think he'll necessarily, get what he is looking for. But on the Suns issue, I think that there will be a very, very good team. I don't know about, I'm not necessarily counting this season because I think it's like too much is going on. But I think from next season, they're going to be a very, very good team, a team that goes deep in the playoff. But that's as far as I see. A very good team is what I see.
A very good team was not what they traded for. They did
Yeah,
not trade for a very good team. They traded for let's win it now.
all I see is a very good team. That's all. None more.
the flip side, we had our guy Kyrie joining Dallas, and I can already imagine what you think about that trade. It is not what you would have wanted if you add the chips on you on deck for you to make. Like, if you really wanted to make a trade, Kyrie to Mavericks is not something you would do. I am certain. Like, you
Right.
don't even need to tell me, I can see it.
Now, I mean, but it seemed like it's going to work because it's definitely what Mr. Luka wanted. Is what he has been asking for. So I think he has finally gotten, one thing that he has been asking for a very long time. So I think they're a very good team, a very good team that will go very far. And I think they're like that. To me, they're a dark horse team that. They'll probably make the finals with what's going on. I just
This
think so.
is weird. Seeing you talk about this way, so calm. This is weird. What is going on, Valentine? Did
Now,
you sleep
now that
on the right side of the bed
there,
or the wrong side? What is going on?
now now there's a tangible to it. It's not because like, man, I'm tired of this today. Like, KD gets traded to the Suns. All of a sudden, everybody's putting. Big four, big three, big two, big one. And I'm like, how long are we going to keep doing this? Basketball is not played on paper. It's not played with statistics. It's played real life. It's not betting. It's not, you have to play it. So all this, oh, because he's a big name, the odds there. Because he's a smaller name, the odds there. No. But for me, I have a lot of confidence with the Mavs. I think that they will really go far. And to be honest, I think that they go to the finals. Like it's a very thin, slight chance, but I'm optimistic that they go to the finals.
That's a big one right there. That's a big one right there. Well, I like their supporting cast. I'm not gonna lie, because for one, ever since Luka came into the league, he's been able to play around those guys, and those guys actually knock down shots. That's one thing you can give to the Dallas Mavericks. They actually shoot at a high clip, especially when they're on fire. And having two guys that are arguably the best scorers in the league at the moment, it only opens up more space for them. Now, going deep into the playoffs is another thing. Like, I don't know, man. It's when you have two ball dominant guys every time on the floor,
It's
it's
on
always going to be
it's
a
yeah,
problem.
it's unorthodox. It's unorthodox, I'll agree. But this has to be the first time I see ball dominant players really taking it further than how I would mostly I agree to any ball dominant player taking it any far. But I don't know. This one is different. This one is different.
Oh man, we are going to see. We're definitely going to see. But now, what do you think actually won this trade deadline baggers that went on? So we had Los Angeles having getting guys like D'Angelo Russell back. You had some wonderful role players in Vanderbilt. And there are some other teams that even went under the radar, with Brooklyn Nets getting Mikal Bridges, Spencer, Cam Johnson. You had some guys go get into Miami. Miami just got Kevin Love, which I feel like is a big pickup for them. It actually gives them a little more spacing. Who do you feel like won this trade deadline? From all the teams that you the top listed teams, which one of them really pulled out a good one for themselves?
It's a tough one. I think the team that won this is Dallas. And I think Dallas,
See
I
this man,
definitely
you are
think
busting
Dallas
my head with
won.
this thing that you are saying about Dallas. I don't get it. What is going on?
I understand I've been hating on Luka for a minute. I understand I've been hating on the Mavs for a minute, but something about it right now is different. Something about it right now is different. And I think that they won this trade. I sincerely think that they did. Well, considering how Kevin Love has been playing for a minute now, he's a good addition, but I don't think it's necessarily great. I just think it's a not even necessarily good. I think it's a decent addition, that's to be honest. So it is not much to it. Miami tends to play like a team that they are reserving some nuclear weapons somewhere. They don't play like a team that really wants to win every night. They play like a team that selects which night they want to win and so on. So they're unpredictable. The Suns, on the other hand, I think they're a very, very good team. That's as far as I'll go.
Yo, wait, I wanted Miami to get some other guys, role players on the bench who could actually stretch the floor a lot more. But I love the Kevin Love pickup. I would have loved Kevin Love to go to Golden State. If that had happened, because I was actually rooting for Golden State to get him, and if that had happened, it would have like lightened up the issue of, James Wiseman not being the top pick, and he had to get traded to
That too,
Pistons. You know,
I agree. I agree. I
it
feel
would have
like
been
it
a
would
great
have been
addition
a
for them.
better fit for the Warriors than it would be for Miami. I feel like so.
I just want to see how the second half of this old charade is going to fall in, because
My own
bruh,
is that they really gave up on Wiseman.
the thing with Wiseman is, there was no way he would have grown in the Golden State system.
Why is
Because if you
that?
look back in the day, since Golden State started dominating, the kind of bigs they had are not, they are not the Wiseman kind of bigs. They are the guys that play off the ball. They don't necessarily need to have a presence down low, but they're able to complement the other guys. Wiseman is more like a ball dominant big, someone that you want in the post, someone that you want around the mid-range who has to play with the ball. You want to center yourself around a guy like Wiseman, because he's got those skills, he's got the length, he's got the athleticism, he's got all those things to be the guy. But with the Golden State system, it's going to take him a longer time to actually develop. And that I'm
Why
actually
pick him?
happy for him to that he left the system.
Why pick him then?
With teams, man, you that's one thing about drafting players. You see, you draft a player and pay him for his potential, what you envision, the best version you see of this guy in your head, not the best version he's actually going to become or he wants to become. With him going to the Pistons, now you can actually surround him with guys and he can play in his natural essence, the way he has always wanted to play. But with Golden State, you already know that the system is Steph Curry. Nobody's going to change the system. Until when Steph retires,
Okay,
then things are going to change.
which is why Mr. Poole is pretty much as emerged the way he has. Okay, well, I mean, we've all known that. What's this other guy? The other one in the same Golden State, Moody or something.
Oh, Moses Moody.
No, the other one. The other
Kuminga.
one. Kuminga.
I love the kid.
I'm surprised he's still there.
No, he has made better adjustments. He made better adjustment than James Wiseman. He's also one of those young
What are the
guys.
adjustments?
Yeah, he's
Yeah,
also one of
because
those
I
guys
saw them
that.
as almost similar players, so like I'm wondering what adjustment.
Yeah, you've watched the games he's played. He has been the guy that has been able to come in and be a 3-and-D guy. He's gonna hit
I ain't gonna
shots.
lie.
He's gonna
I ain't
play
gonna
some defense, and he's gonna
lie.
score around the buckets.
I'm not going to lie. Every Golden State match I watch, I've not seen him play.
Oh man, you
That
have to go and watch this guy. What is wrong with you?
Every Golden State game I've watched, I've
Bro,
not
come on
seen
now.
him. Like I've not seen.
Come on
I'm
now.
not
Stop being
lying.
our guy like that.
Then I'm like, I don't. I'm like, what? Is this guy injured? Like he's
Stop
not.
doing
He's there, but he just
this guy
doesn't
like that.
play.
Stop it. Stop it. No, he's actually a better fit for them compared to Wiseman. He's able to do every other thing on the floor and do it at a reasonable clip. So in the long run, I still feel like they are going to change a lot of things with Golden State. The minute Steph retires, the minute Klay retires, all those guys step out of the league, a lot of things are going to change. They can't go on playing the same kind of system, especially now with the young set of guys. Even though you are trying to groom them into that role,
Okay.
it's totally different. Because for one, you will not have another Steph and Klay. You're not gonna have two guys that can change the dynamics of a game within seconds. You can feel like Jordan Poole is going to look somewhat like Steph, but he's not Steph, man. One, he doesn't have the mentality. Two, he doesn't move like Steph. He doesn't have that fluidity like Steph, especially coming off screens, playing a lot smarter. I know he's still a young guy, but we have seen lapses. It has shown that he's not that guy, at least not now. And to add to that, you don't even have another guy that is like Klay on the team at the moment, you know? So it's a lot of things are going to change with the Warriors in a few years, for sure. For sure.
I agree.
But yeah, we've seen our guys on the big stage, a lot of the National League players. We are moving away from NBA basketball now. We've seen a few of them guys and seen what they have been able to achieve in the past few days. Before going into these qualifiers, them boys had this mountain to climb. For one, over the last few years, in fact, over a decade ago, we've always talked about National League players in Nigeria not getting opportunity to play in the top competitions. You know, you get to play in the National League when it's time for qualifiers, when it's time for a major competition where Nigeria is on the helm of the thing of everything. You don't get those players selected. And it's something we've talked about over the years. Like, why is it those tournaments, these National League camp players can't play? Why? Why? But now we've gotten the opportunity with the qualifiers. How do you feel your boys are doing? I know they are
Oh,
doing
they're doing great.
good.
Oh, no, they're doing great. They're doing great. So I hate that I have to say this. I was thinking of it. I was thinking of why is it why now? Why now do our players get this opportunity? Please correct me if I'm wrong, but I hate the fact that it's probably because the season is on for every other league around the world. The players that they would have loved to pick, the players that they wanted to pick, and that the players that we have now are basically their plan B, because I mean, what else would they have done? It makes me angry, to be honest, but I appreciate the opportunity that is given. I definitely do, because like we are proving to them and we're proving to ourselves that if you give us this chance, we will use it, we will grow. We're capable of, you know, serving at the highest level, playing at the highest level, and doing what we're supposed to do. There's a reason why, I mean, we know the reasons why half of us are not in all these other major leagues that you're trying to import these players from. We don't need the diasporans. We do not need the diasporans. That's my stance. And even when I start playing in diaspora, This is probably going to come back to kick me in the ass, saying, but there was a time I said we don't need Dice France. I still stand by it. We don't. Because there are far more experienced players in the grassroots. There are far more experienced players where we are. There is, I would always say, it's okay to have an exceptional one, two, three Dice France. That's fine. But the over-reliance on them is what has hurt us for so long. It's robbed us of so many opportunities. We're talking about guys that should not be playing for the first time for the national team. I don't understand. These guys playing now for the qualifiers have no reason, or if some of them or most of them have no reason playing for the national team for the first time. Why? These are guys that are supposed to have been playing for the national team for a minute. They're supposed to have built momentum, experience, all that stuff. It doesn't take away from where they are now and where they are going. I'm just pissed on their behalf that it's taking this long to give them a chance that belonged to them anyway. And now, just because the qualifiers seem to be in the middle of a season of every other league, so we're going to use the grassroots. What did you think in the first place? That's what we are here for. That's what they are there for. Give them that chance. The Dutch France, yeah, we can always use the extra ammunition, but we can't rely on them. We need to rely on our own. And even when I become part of the diaspora, that I'm not longer a grassroots player in the national in the Nigerian league or anything like that, I will still stand by what I've said. I don't expect to join the team and become a pivotal part of it. I don't. I expect to join the team to serve my country that way, and to put on the show because I really want to, and to play at the highest level for my country and deliver what I can for my country. But not be like, this is because of me. It's definitely not because of you. And I can't wait for our guys to take us all the way. Because the way I'm looking at it, they're going to take us all the way. They looked a little nervous, in the first game. They looked a little nervous, expected of them. I don't exactly like I if they played like totally anything they played, it was fine. They looked a little nervous. Doesn't take away from their performance. They got the win. They got the win. They get the win today. They'll keep getting the win. I think they'll take us to where we're going, and they'll finally prove that we don't need diaspora. We can do it on our own.
So this is where it gets a little over the years. We've all had this talk that the National League players are not ready for the big stage. The National League players are not equipped for the big stage. And that was one of the reasons why most of the players from out of the country get to play on the national team. And I remember having conversations with different people, different situations over and over. Like, the reason why this is going to remain the same is because there's not been any inclusion. If you really wanted guys to grow, if you really wanted to stand out of the game to grow, you really want to have an impact on the guys that play in the National League, get them into the camps. It was so bad that the only thing that a lot of us were asking for was just get some players into the camp. We don't even want them to make the team. You get my point. Like, if you are getting 10 players from the US, from Europe, from wherever they are coming from, get another 10 from Nigerian League, from the National League. Let them just play with these guys. Because one, there's this transfer of information that they get to be exposed to. Maybe they've not been a part of that situation before in their lives. And even if they have, it kind of broadens the horizon for them. And now they're able to pass on that same information to the guys that have not gotten the same opportunity. Just get them in those doors. And it goes back to saying that these players have always been talented, always been skillful, always been good enough to play at that stage. They may not have the same confidence that those guys from other countries come with, but it takes time to build those things. And we can see it from what they've been able to do in the past 2 days now. Them boys are open. Yes, they are always going to be jitters. They are always going to feel a certain way. But you have 11 out of 12 players that were born and bred in Nigeria, showing out on the qualifying stage. What I'm
I
going to be
suppose.
pissed about is if we end up qualifying for the tournament and there's not an healthy chunk of these guys even going into the camps and making it to the team that ends up representing the country in the World Cup. That's
Now
my
that's where they're
issue.
going to have now that's where they're going to have me fucked up.
That's going to be
If
my issue.
now that's where no that's where they're going to have me fucked up, because if now we're talking about these guys taking us all the way and qualifying us, and then you're telling me one third of them are the only ones that make, I don't want one third to make the team. I want two and a half third to make the team. Not one third. If you're going to cut, like, okay, what are they? How many players are they in total? 12? They're 12 players, right? They're 12 players. Out of the 12 players, let at least nine of them make the team. Let's give a few, just one, was it one, two, three slots to listen. See, I don't give a damn, man. I don't want all this nonsense. Like, let them international folks do what they do. We don't need
Yo.
that. Everybody wants to represent the country. I understand. I'm not going to act like those outside do not want to represent the country just as much as we do. They are just as much Nigerians as we are. But I'm sorry, you have had a lot of opportunities. Maybe not you in particular, but people in your space have had a lot of opportunities. We don't even know our window. Let's be honest. If tomorrow now they say there's a tournament, some international, maybe FIBA qualifiers, one of these things. And like where they're putting together Nigerian players to go represent us, we already know it's almost like a default. We're going to pack like 10 players from abroad and barely one or two players from Nigeria, they're going to go. See, that's almost a default. That's almost like a certainty. We only have, it seems so like I'm approaching this situation like this is like a one window for us to really take everything we have so we can change the narratives and just change the dynamics of it. And then so that we can get to a point where when they are doing the selection, they can be like, oh, it's a 50-50 now. You know, they are like 50, we have to go with like half of us from the grassroots, half of us from overseas. But we don't want to put ourselves in a situation. That's why I said I'm not saying that we're any more Nigerians than the ones in the diaspora. But at the same time, let's just call it for what it is. They have had multiple chances, maybe not the newcomers in particular, but people in their situation have gotten chances. We haven't. This is the only window we have to prove that we can play at the highest level. I'm not going to sit down like, well, okay, so after we play qualify, does qualify really magnify the talent of the guys there? No, it doesn't. We all know it doesn't. The main people watching the qualifiers are you and I. You and I and all the other grassroots Nigerians that have been rooting for grassroots Nigerians to be on the international stage for years. We are the ones watching the qualifiers. Now, when these same set of boys go out there and play the real World Cup on international stage, guess who's watching? Not just us, everybody else. And that's the point. Give them a chance to do what they do. Even if like they're a 12-man squad, even if you're going to take like cut two, I ain't going to say cut, what is this, half of us, or give us one third of our team. No, just take two. I don't mind. Two is okay. Bring two from our side, that's fine. But don't take our players, man. Give them a chance. Like let them have the exposure that they need. We have seen what these minor exposure have done for players. What happened in a dunk contest? The player from G League, what's his name? Please help me with his
Mike
name.
Malone.
He's from the G League. Okay, he gets signed like with this I think like a minimal contract
Yeah,
with
two-way
Philly.
contract. Yeah.
So he'll be able to participate. He electrifies the G League. Then he becomes the talk. Like now, what that does is that it has exploded his brand. Now he's able to feed off of what
True.
he has gotten from that opportunity, from that single opportunity. That's what I'm asking. We just want these guys that maybe have not had that kind of opportunity, that kind of chance, to explode their, like, give them a chance to rise. When they get there, whatever they do with it now is up to them. But you can't rob them completely. And World Cup qualifier is not enough. No, let's call it for what it is. It ain't it. You know good and well, it's you and I that is watching that. You and I and the rest of them that's just like us are watching it. You don't have like actual
Oh,
the highest profile people constantly watching. We have had qualifiers how many days back to back to back days? This is the third day in a row. How
oh
many
my
people do you
God.
think are paying attention to it to that degree? Not much, but we are because we like these are our guys. So when they start going to the international stage, they'll be like, okay, yeah, now they've gotten the exposure they need. Now they're doing what they're supposed to do. Whatever they do with that opportunity, it's up to them. But let's at least give them, let them try. The
Yeah.
guys on the international stage are already doing their thing.
Yeah, it's a system. It's a system that needs to change. My own big thing is about inclusion. Like, regardless of what it is, if you really want the standard of the game to grow within the country, you have to actually expose these guys to how every other person around the world plays the game. And if that does not happen at this stage, then it's going to be a problem that's going to continue over and over again. We keep talking about
Exactly.
developing the game in the country, getting guys to a certain level where they can perform on different stages. It starts now. That's my own big thing. I understand wanting to win, wanting to be the best in Africa, but we can all put we can always put up a picture that we are the best in Africa, but our league is trash, you know? And the only reason why our national league is trash is because we don't have a structure that helps these players grow to a certain level. So I totally agree with you. I'm not going to sit back here and say they are not going to make their cut from the team. Definitely. But I want it to be a way that every player that gets selected for the World Cup itself, when they qualify, you actually have shown that you can play. And the National League players should be included in that, regardless of what it is. Not because of my emotions that I also play in the National League and all that, but they have to be a part of it for us to grow. That's just the truth. Big ups to the guys that have been able to put us on the stage, the likes of Ike Diogu, Tony Skins, the Ben Uzo. Those guys really have set a tone for us growing in the national and in the international stage. But we also need
I agree.
inclusion from a lot of the national guys at this point. That's the only way things is going to change. Structure needs to start right now. And I feel with this team, they've made a name for themselves already. So it's the
This
implications
is our
back is
window.
really good for us.
This is our window. This is our opportunity right here. So I'm definitely sticking with this one. See, we're going to have a protest if there are too many of them cuts. Now we're going to
This
have a
guy is
protest.
okay. Well, how do you want to hold the protest? You are in Ghana now. Do you want to start? Is it online protest?
Nah, man. Somebody, see, let them not test me. They don't know who I
Say
am. Let them not
that
test
I'm
me.
not
Nah.
testing.
Nah, because see, I don't want us
My
to go
God.
there. I don't want us to go there. But these guys need to play. These guys need to play, man. They cannot have qualified us for us to now say, no, we can't do that. We can't keep doing that. It's the same thing that's affecting us on in the football sector of it. It's the same thing that's affecting us here in the basketball sectors. It will not stop until we break the cycle. That cycle needs to break. Let us, okay, we have tried. Have we won the World Cup? Have we gotten close with the diasporans?
This guy, just shut up.
So give me Grasso,
Just shut up.
give my guy, give my boy,
Just shut up.
give my boy the chance. If the diasporans or what they make up of half of the team have not won us the World Cup, have not won us any international trophies that I can think of. Maybe, please correct me if I'm wrong.
They won
I'm not
the
taking.
African cups. We've been back-to-back championships and all that.
Nigga, I'm talking about World Cup. Yeah,
But
ain't
that's
nobody
still
wants to hear
international.
that.
What's wrong with
Man, nobody want. I was talking about World Cup. They
you?
haven't taken us far in the World Cup. They haven't. We haven't, made some noise to the point where it'd be like, "Ooh, are we the dark horse? Ooh." Looks like we're going to do. Ooh, no, they haven't, and we're going to keep repeating and trying with the same. No, we need to stop. Let's try the guys here. Let's try the guys, let our boys,
But
maybe woo,
you
that's
have
where
to
the
know that
magic.
it is not trial and error. That's why I keep screaming at and talking about structure, structure, structure. It has to start from the Federation, making the right changes and getting the right people involved. That's my
It's
own
not
big thing.
trial and error, but I'll always use this as a standard for it's not trial and error. I'm sorry, but Leicester City in 2016 tied the PL championship. Nobody can tell me
Was
anything.
it trial and error with Leicester? Was it trial
More or less.
and error? But they were building
More or
something
less,
over the
man.
years. They even
They
brought
were
Juju
building
man.
what?
They brought
They were building what?
Juju man to the locker room. They gave the
Nah,
knocks and
man.
all that to sage the whole locker
Before 2016,
room.
I believe even Leicester themselves did not expect that we're going to be challenging for the title. At most, they were just challenging that they were not going to be relegated, they were going to be a mid-table team, all that basic stuff. But then when the ginger started, they were like, is it we that are doing this? It's me that is doing this. So is it me? Oh, it's me. How far back? We're still going. This momentum is shifting. What's going on here? Looks like we're really winning. That's how it starts. That starts really how it is.
Oh my
And then
God.
my point in that is that see those players that it highlighted. See the value of those players that it highlighted. Now we got to know the likes of Vardy, Mahrez, what's this, Kante, Morgan, even Maguire was overpriced because of that single season. So that's what I want. I want my boys to be on international stage to the point where they get what they deserve. They have suffered. These boys have suffered. Every time, African competition, African tournament, African competition. Let us play outside. Let us play on the big stage. Let them see us. Let the highest level of the audience see us. Which one is how many? Okay, even if let's say for example, 5, 10,000 people are watching, Africa tournament, Africa competition. You want to compare the audience that they will give that will be available to the African tournament to the ones on the World Cup stage. Unless we know the truth, we know the numbers. Please let us go and verify. So our boys need to play. Our boys needs to
Let's
play.
go. As you can hear, Valentine has made a case for them boys. Nothing else to be said. Nothing else to be said. See, we already have a thumbnail. We already have our shots for these next few weeks. Valentine ranting about the Nigerian League. Oh
Man.
man. But the truth is the truth, bro. Hopefully everything works out right and the way we've envisioned. But yeah, that's what we want. Thank you guys for joining us on today's episode. We really appreciate the turn up, and you know what to do. We've come to an end of another wonderful episode. So please, you know what to do. Share, like, comment. Do the good things to help the show grow. But yeah, till next time, people, stay safe, stay frosty. Just flat out.